How many of you follow the news lately? How many of you heard of this guy, Anthony Bourdain? How many of you heard that name? Or how many of you heard the name Kate Spade? How many of you heard that name? How many of you know that name before this thing happened? Man, these two people, these two celebrities had everything that life could give one. Isn't that true? They had fame, they had fortune, they had great friends. They had ridden right to the peak of their career, of what they were doing. Anthony was a celebrity chef, television presenter, but at 61 years old, something happened to him. Kate Spade, a beautiful young lady, had everything to her. Fashion designer, every woman would have had her name on their lips. Something happened a couple of weeks ago. And as I read that story, and I read the whole biography of their lives, and I wrote what led them into that situation, it dawned upon me as I prepared this sermon that in the heart of man, in every heart, there's a seeking going on. You are never satisfied. I'm sure I sat down, and this, honestly, I said, if I was Anthony, my name is Anthony, incidentally, in the center of name. If I was him with all that wealth, I'll be the happiest man planet Earth would ever see. Wouldn't that be our thought? I wish if I was rich, I wish I was famous. If I had this and if I had that, wow, wouldn't my life be great? But what happened to them? Something happened. And as I read the autobiography, the writer said they were constantly not satisfied with their life. Man, with all that, you're not satisfied? How true the Bible says, yeah? The temporal, material things will never bring satisfaction to one life. And they took their lives, depression, drugs, suicide. There's a high suicide rate with the popular and famous people out there. They can't cope with the pressure. They can't cope with the position. They can't cope with the demands. They have everything, yet they don't have the resource to help them cope in life. You and I may not be famous here, but you know something? In the Lamb's Book of Life, we are famous. My name is there, hallelujah. My name is there. And you know something? On the lips of Jesus every day, my name is there. Because the Bible says, daily he sits by the Father and makes prayer for you and I. My name is mentioned daily in heaven. That's my resource, friend. But something happens when people start seeking. You know, as you sit here, some of you are seeking for a career. It's normal. Sometimes we seek intentionally and sometimes unintentionally we are seeking because circumstances galvanize us to seek. Some of us are seeking for healing. Last week, I had a call from a friend who is a senior pastor of Clayton Church of Christ. 38 years old. The senior pastor is 38 years old. His wife is in her 30s too. A qualified doctor. Suddenly, she had aneurysm. Rushed to hospital, and she died. She left behind two kids, 2 years old and 5 years old, and a husband who is a senior pastor of a church. It brought shock. Suddenly, it dawned upon us the reality of life. What are you seeking in life, friend? What are you seeking? Can I get the power? Oh, thank you very much. But let's put a few verses. I want to go to the few. I'm taking a few verses and just worked out a little message to you. It says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you. God knows the thoughts he thinks towards us, friend. He says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me and I will listen. I like this part. He says, and you will seek me. In the English dictionary, there are a few words to seek. It says that you will search for me, that you will look for me, that you will inquire about me. You will seek. He said, you seek me and you will find me. When you search for me with all your heart, they were seeking with all their life, Kate and Anthony. and they couldn't find what they were seeking. So they gave their life with the hope of finding what they were looking for. Isn't that? People think suicide is the answer to all their seekings. But no. He said, you seek God. Second Chronicles is a beautiful one. I said, he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding the visions of God. And as long, listen to this one, as long as he sought the Lord, God, what? Made him prosper. You want to prosper? You seek God. Don't go to the world. Don't chase the thing. Go chase God. And you prosper. Jeremiah said that. I have a plan for you to prosper. Second Chronicles say, you seek me, I'll make you prosperous. I'll make you prosperous from a different understanding of prosperity. Amen? You have all the prosperity, but if you don't have life, what is the prosperity worth, friend? He says in Isaiah, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. I want to ask you this question, which somebody asked me the other day. How near is God near to me? How, Pastor Miso, he said, Pastor Miso, how near is God near to me? Is there a measurement of distance? Is there a measurement of time? Is there a measure? How near? The Bible says God is everywhere, omnipresent. Amen? God is never far. Amen? The question is, how far are you from him? How far? Your thoughts, your desires, your longings, your cravings, how far are you from him? Are you chasing the world? And as a result of that chase, you distance yourself from the God that loves you. You know, reading these two people's life, 61 is still young. Kate was a young, I don't really get her age, but she was young. To die young. So sad. I can imagine the parents. You bring up a kid, everything they have. And yet, they're not satisfied. And yet, there's a vacuum. There's an emptiness. There's a cry. There's a longing. And then you chase and you give your life. Life is precious, friend. Amen? The greatest gift that God gave us is nothing of material. He says, I have come that you may have life abundantly. I came not only for the forgiveness of sin. I can forgive you from heaven. I came not to only love you. I can love you from heaven. I came that I can give my life that you may have an abundant life. Isn't that wonderful? God gave us life. Let's seek the giver of life. Amen? Be careful, young people. There's a lot of things you are seeking out there. Temporal fun, excitement. It's not wrong to have all this, friend. But watch what you are seeking. It can possess you and you become obsessed by it and it leads to depression. Be careful. Every day we seek. You know, in the field of medical or medicine, constantly, every day, they are seeking new breakthroughs in life. Amen? Constantly. People are paid big bucks to do research. Pharmaceutical companies pay big bucks to do research. Why? In the hope that through the seeking and discovery, they can add some value to your life. In the field of technology, constantly, daily, it is changing. They are seeking new horizons, new. Constantly, they are seeking breakthroughs. In the field of engineering, they're constantly doing research to make sure buildings that they built can last, can stand the earthquakes, whatever storm. They constantly are seeking and searching. How about you? Are you constantly seeking God? Or you say this, Pastor Mitchell, I found Jesus. I know Jesus. He's my Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Or are you seeking him? Seek him daily. Can I have the next slide? David says, listen, Psalms 27, for David, man after the heart of God, a man who loved God, a man who fell into sin, yet he knew. He says, one thing. Listen, one thing. Priority, one. I don't want many. One thing, he said, a desire. What is desire? I ask, I seek, I sought God for one thing. that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Friend, when I talk of dwelling, it's not, don't take your bags and come and stay in church now. Huh? Don't tell your parents, I'm giving up home, I'm going to stay in the church. So in the church, I say God is, let me tell you, God is not in the church. God is in you. Amen? God is in me. When I come here, then God is in the house. Amen? Other than that, God is not in the house. God doesn't dwell in idols, in statues. No, God dwells in you. So it's not about coming to church. Dwelling is dwelling in His presence. So that I may dwell. Huh? To behold the beauty of the and to inquire in His temple. David wanted to be in the sweet presence of his God daily. Meaning, every move, every maneuver of David's life was maneuvering him to be close to the presence of God. David maneuvered his life, his movements, his priority. He maneuvered it that I will always be in the house of my God, in His presence. You know, I don't mind worshiping. I'm not a loud person when worship is concerned. Actually, this is how I worship at home. I sit by my bed and I talk to the Lord. I say, Lord, today I just called you to tell you I love you, Lord. We have this situation in our family. We're desperate. We're looking for ways. But you know, Lord, this morning I chose to sit by you because what I'm looking for can only be found in you. And then I'll take my word. I'll read the word, talk to God. And many a time I come out of the room refreshed, recharged, excited. Even though that problem lingers, but the fact that I was in His presence, in spite of the pain, in spite of the suffering, your presence is the fullness of my joy in the heart of me. Amen. Isn't that a beautiful song? It says, in your presence, there is fullness of joy. I will linger, I will stay, till your likeness be seen in me. Hallelujah. Amen. What are you seeking? Why did you come to church? When Jesus was in the tomb, the two ladies ran there and the angel asked, what are you seeking? Why are you seeking for the living among the dead? What are you seeking? Do you know what you're seeking? If you know, have you prioritized what you want? Seek the Lord and He will be found of you. Amen? Thank you. I hope you feel encouraged because at the end of the day, Matthew gives us a beautiful one. He said, if all you're seeking, prioritize God first. Hallelujah. But seek ye first the kingdom and all these things, you fill in the blanks. What do you want? Just now that video said, you ask God the impossibles. Let Him decide whether you get or whether He'll do it. You ask. Don't design your asking on your own knowledge. No, I don't think God can do this. You fail already. You ask. Ask, ask, ask. And in His time and in His will, all things will be made beautiful. He says, ask God. Ask God. Make God the priority of your seeking. The other day, I received a call. You know, I go to Eastland quite regular. Huh? Malcolm, no, I sit at a Korean shop, a Korean coffee shop. Nice Korean Christian girls and guys are there. In fact, I helped them and they had trouble with Eastland. Huh? And now I get free coffees once in a while. And the boss sees me. She thinks Jesus has visited the cafe. Huh? Yeah, she gets so excited when she sees me. And then for a couple of months, I travel. I've been away. Just a few days ago, they call me, Pastor, how are you? Haven't seen you. Are you okay? I said, no, I'm not okay. Why? Because I'm not okay. I didn't go and visit you. But then, you know, I thought something. In life, the thing that you normally feel attracted to constantly comes to memory. How many of you receive daily? I send things to you. You know, I don't send randomly. I have about 2,700 on the mailing list that I send. Some days I send 2,000. Some people I just pray. When I want to send after my devotion, then I send it. I say, God, is this meaningful to someone? Is this blessing to someone? If I can transfer or inspire or ignite that heart through this, let it be so, Lord. Because you come on my mind and I think. And I said, and I realized this cafe, because they knew I was there, I used to help them, any issues. Sometimes I act like the counselor there. I met the Ringwood counselor and he asked me, oh, you're quite popular here. I said, yes, with the cafes, man. But you know, I want to ask you, what is on your mind daily? What is on your mind? Make money? It's okay. Make a career? It's okay. Be the best in your work? Fantastic. But where is God on your mind? Because if He's on your mind, then you will seek Him. Amen? Seek the Lord, friend. My challenge to you this week is sit down and seek God. And see the change that will happen in your heart, in your walk with God, in your love for God. Just seek God. Don't play music. Just sit down in the quietness of your room and just let your mind go to God and say, God. You know, I love that song Stevie Wonder sang, I just called to say I love you. And I always talk to God. I say, God, I just called you to tell you I love you. I'm not here to ask anymore. I just want to tell you, God, I love you. I love you. Every bit of me saying, I love you, Lord. And in that love, can I talk to you, Lord? Can I just share what I'm going through in my life and my family? Just share. It's to acknowledge that I come in love, oh Lord. I don't come demanding. But I love you. And let God talk to you. I tell you, friend, that's what God longs. It's just like somebody said, a father went to the phone shop and brought his telephone. And he asked the guy, can you repair my phone, please? And the guy looked at it and checked. He said, your phone is in order. He said, then why? Why my kids are not calling me? Maybe God sits there. And he said, hey, Peter, check my phone. He said, hey, gee, it's all right. Your phone is okay, man. He said, then why? Why aren't my children calling me? Maybe you need to seek the Lord. Amen. There are a few things I want to share this morning. It's a short and simple devotion of my life. But I want to share four things. That when you sit down, you seek. Number one, seek His presence. For in His presence, there's fullness of joy. Hallelujah. Amen. For in His presence, there's a surety. Assurance. Seek His presence. Make the priority of your days. I want to be in Your presence, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In your prayer. You know, when you're dating, I hope when you're a husband and wife, you still enjoy the company of your spouse. But when you are out, you want to be with that person, you want the whole world to be cut off. Amen? You don't invite the world into your dates because you'll be dead then. Only when you get married and you got kids, then you draw the world in so you can have other activities. You use diversion therapy, yeah? But, you know, you want to be alone. And when you are alone, you know, I have kids at home. They got a girlfriend. I observe them. And then I'll call them, come. That's where I'll give them a little bit of fatherly talk to them. And you observe. And I said, man, I tell my, this guy is almost like two in one. They stuck together, man. When from a distance, I see my kid walking with his girlfriend. I see one body, two heads. So close. And every time, finish work, tired, when he comes home, I said, can you do this? Daddy, I'm tired. Then 5 minutes later, he's gone to see his girlfriend. And I thought, maybe we tell God that way. God, hey, gee, I'm tired. You know, I'm tired, you know. But I go out there. There is a world calling me. Oh, he breaks his heart. He breaks his heart. Seek His presence. Because there's something dynamic, something electrifying in the presence of the one you love. Think about it. There is something so empowering when you are with the one you love. Seek His presence. He can be found. God wants you to seek. And He said, you will be found of me. I'll be with you. Seek me. Seek, friend. Because if you don't fill up that vacuum, there's some other things of this world that will rob your attention. And it will take you down a spiral that may destroy your life. Seek God. If you're married, seek your attention with your spouse. If you're kids, seek the attention of your parents. If you're a parent, seek the attention of your kids. Don't take for granted. Don't ever take things for granted. Amen? Don't think she'll be all right. She'll never be all right. Unless you seek with all your heart, unless you seek with all the determination, unless you seek with all diligence, you'll never find it. Seek God. Number two, not only seek His presence, seek His peace. Jesus said, we are living in the days where troubles are there, but I have given you a peace that the world may never know. This Anthony and Kate had everything, but they had no peace of heart. Their hearts were in pieces. They could not find peace to settle down with all the wealth, with all the faith. That given still did not give them peace. Peace give I unto you, saith Jesus. Peace give I unto you. I give you the peace. No one can find peace besides or outside of me. Amen? He said, I give you peace, friend. I am your peace. Hallelujah. I am Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. They look for peace. Are you looking for peace? You'll never find peace in that world. Friend, can I tell you that? If you do, it's temporary. The doctor can give you temporary medication. Healing comes from God. The counselors can deal temporary with your circumstance. Restoration and recoveries and renewal of it is through God. Amen? Look to Him. He is the God of peace. Your peace, friend. You, when you sit down at home and you're troubled with things, you know, this mind, somebody said, empty vessel, devil's workshop. Huh? If you can fill this mind with the peace of God, I tell you, then whatever your life is, you will enjoy life. People think if I have everything in life, then I will be peaceful. That's a lie. It's being peaceful in spite of not having everything. That's the truth. Amen? It's to know the peace. God is my peace. When you are troubled, run to the peace of God. Run to Him. He's your peace. Come, cast your cares upon me, for I care. I care for you. Peace is something that, you know, we had Donald Trump and what's that guy, Kim Jong-un or what? Kim Jong-un. Un Trump, huh? Trump-un. But the world is seeking for peace. Look at it. You know, you think that peace is coming through. When I hear that the world say peace, 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 I get more frightened. The Bible says, when you see peace and everything, that's when I come back. I won't come back when there's trouble. Look at Revelation. Go and read. Huh? He said, when the world sings the song peace, everybody is peaceful. Whoa, behold, I shall come. Peace, friend. You know, there's a lot of families broken, fighting. I have a friend who works for Department of Human Services. After 10 years, she feels broken because she said, the amount of garbage I see in the families, the amount of fighting, she said, it really shattered. She said, it's only my Christian faith that sustained me. She said, out there, we see people smiling, laughing, shopping, but they are broken. Broken. Broken to the core. No peace. Do you have peace this morning, church? Peace is not the absence of pain or crisis. Peace in the midst of it all. When the storm rages, I find peace. When all hell breaks loose, I got the peace of God in my heart. I haven't overcome it, but I know the peace of God rules my heart. Amen? The peace of God. The Bible says that the strength of your heart is your joy, right? Joy is the strength of your heart. If what is joy? Peace. Happy. Be happy. Eh? There was a song, Be Happy. Eh? Don't worry, happy. Very hard to say don't worry. Eh? The fact that you say don't worry, I worry already. Happy to know that somebody cares for me. Hallelujah. Seek peace. You know, in church, I tell you, one of the things that divides the church is when we don't have peace with one another. We have differences. And the differences are sometimes not substantiated. It's through perceptions, third-party gossip. But if you sit down and make peace, that's why the Bible says, make peace with one another. Make peace. Then you find joy. Your worship is better. I went to a church, And before the service, I didn't know this guy is the worship leader. And I said, and I asked him about somebody. He said, oh man, don't talk about that guy. Not worth talking. And I look at guy. I don't like people talking this way. You belittle another human being. And I said, okay, Naaman. But he kept playing on my mind. And I sat down. And later I saw this guy come up to be a worship leader. And he was singing songs. And at the end, I'm a person, when I get trouble, I tell you, man, I will not leave the place until I resolve or I talk to the person. See, you ask me, after service, I'm drinking coffee, but my mind is still, and I'm watching him moving about. You know, I can't concentrate on the pastor talking to me because I'm watching this guy. Then the pastor asked me, Pastor Misho, are you troubled? I said, yes and no, but it's okay. He said, don't worry, I'm okay. After the coffee, I saw the guy going, I went and ambushed him. And I said, Alan, can I talk to you? And then I brought this out. I said, you know, you troubled my heart during worship. So what you said before and you worship troubled me. I said, we should never belittle somebody for any reason. Because you know why? That same person you belittle, God created. Isn't that true? God created him. When I belittle you, I actually belittle the Creator. And I tell him, I said, Alan, can you do me a favor? I want to call that guy. Can you apologize? He said, the guy, and I didn't say it to him. I said, but you said it to me, can I? But he didn't know I already talked to the other guy. Man, I come from a police background. I work fast. And so we sat down and I talked to the guy and I said, now would you? And then the guy who was there said, oh, Pastor Miso, thank you. I really don't know. I said, you didn't know, but I know and God know. And I want to make it right for you. Peace. We should never, never be an agent or an advocate of the enemy to divide or to destroy or to bring division. Bring peace, friend. Seek peace in church. Seek the peace of God, friend. Live peacefully, amen? I may not like you for other reasons. Maybe you got better hair than me, like Michael is so handsome. It's okay, but I'm still handsome in my own heart. I know I'm the handsomest guy. When I look at the mirror in the morning, I say, gee, God, you're so good. You made someone like me. But you know, we may have, don't let differences be division. Never allow. God made us different and unique. Amen? Difference does not mean I must divide. Difference means I'm unique, different from you. God made me, but don't divide. Please, church, find me. I've seen churches break up because of this silly thing. And my journey out of church is to constantly challenge people, live with the people God brought you. What if one day, by perchance, the person you hate so much dies and goes to heaven and becomes your neighbor? And you say, hey, God, I hate. He said, man, if you either live with it or you get downstairs. There's a nice disco going on called Fire Disco. They're pumping up the fire and the music. But learn to be peaceful, you know. The success and the sustaining power that Auntie Anne and me work in is because we began to love those that society called the scums. I love them. And it molded and it changed my whole perception of loving people. I don't want to love people who love me only. Because Jesus, see, listen what he said. I came for those who were lost, sick, and sinners. Even though you were in sin, I died for you. I brought peace. Let's seek peace, church. Number three, besides the presence and peace, let's seek his purpose. You know, listen, when you see peace and you see differences, and then you go, what is my purpose here now? Maybe I am brought here to be the bridge. Maybe I'm brought here to be the arm. Maybe I'm brought here to be the leg. Maybe I'm brought here to be... Maybe, Lord, the purpose is for me to join this too. Do you know your purpose? Seek every morning. What is my purpose in church? What is my purpose in life? What is my purpose in the larger community? What is my purpose, Lord? You know, I have one passion. I think it's a gift. I love connecting with people. I can sit in a cafe once and I'll know everybody, and for the rest of their life, they'll know me. I'll do things that they'll never forget. And I just love, because sometimes, Auntie Anne always say, you like to draw attention to you. And I said, let's go biblical. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Paul said, follow me, what? As I follow him. If I want you to go to Christ, I sell my life to you. I'm a good salesman. I'll sell a good product. When you buy it, you buy him also. I don't do it for wrong reasons. I don't do it to take advantage. No, I do it because this is the goal. I know my purpose. I want to lead Michael to the Lord. But before I lead him to the Lord, I'd make a good friend with Michael. Michael will trust me, believe in me. And then say, Michael, come. I bring you to my friend. Isn't that true? If people can't buy you, who's going to buy the gospel you preach? Would you? I believe. I have this strong purpose in my heart. Every day, anytime I go out, that's the purpose. I want to win somebody for him. And how to win? This is the way. You have your way, but this is my way God gave me. Two, I like to send messages, email. I love Facebook. Not for all the crap out there, but I use the means to connect with people. I was in Malaysia and I came back. I put 120 people on Facebook, new friends. Even they didn't invite me, I invited them. Hallelujah. 120 straight. I will ask, because you know, if people love, but you know, someday, listen, I may never pass that way again. I'll never meet that person ever again. But you know something? I made a friend. I made an opportunity to speak into that life. Think about it. This is being purposeful in life, friend. Living with a purpose. I live with that purpose, friend. What is your purpose? Seek God for your purpose, friend. When you find your purpose, you find peace. And when you find peace, you become enjoyable in what you're doing. You enjoy what you do. What is your purpose? God has never called us to twiddle our fingers, twiddly-dee, twiddly-dum. You are really dumb if you do that. He's called us to be purposeful. He says, I have a plan and a purpose. Jeremiah 29. A purpose. Even he has got a purpose. Shouldn't I have one? Shouldn't you have one? Shouldn't the church have one? Shouldn't we collectively have one purpose? That we love one another as God loved us? He said, then the world will know you are my disciples if you love one another. Make that your purpose, friend. Never waste one day without any purpose. Because 24, you know, 10 o'clock is gone. It's history. It's in the annals of history already. We cannot call back. All the people you miss, one day will cry out, you knew me. You saw me. You spoke to me. You never told me about Jesus. Purpose. If you know me, I have an agenda. Every morning, I antenna say, "You, what's your agenda today?" I say, "Heaps." Hallelujah. I am purpose driven. Purpose driven. I don't read that book, Purpose Driven, but I always believe God gave me life. Let me live to 67 because there is a purpose. Amen. The reason he extends my day every day, because there's an incomplete purpose I need to go and do. Purpose. He didn't let me live because I like his friend. Nah. He's the purpose of my life. My life has a purpose, and you have. And someday we'll connect on that purpose and we will find peace in life. But would you fulfill that purpose? Do you know that purpose? Don't waste life, friend. 38 years, beautiful doctor. Dies of aneurysm. You know, somebody said, you are only a heartbeat from eternity. Lastly, number four, when you are in his presence, you have the peace of God and the purpose, then you draw his power. Because the power of God will enable you to continue that journey of purpose. The power of God will enable you to live in peace. The power of God will give you that energy and ability to constantly remain in his presence. You need his power. Don't do it on your own strength. Don't do it because Pastor Miso said, you fail. Don't do it because somebody said on the mic. No, do it because you know your purpose. God's power will sustain. The guys, the rich guy, Anthony and Kate, had money and had power. But the power they had could not save them. The power they had drove them to their destiny, death. power. There is power in the name of Jesus. Amen. For on the day of Pentecost, power came from heaven high. Power was transmitted and infused into each one of us by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. We are infused with the Holy Ghost, and that Holy Ghost is the power to enable us to live that life that God has so for us. Amen. Keep God's power. Don't try to do things on your own steam. You die. Don't try to fight Satan with your own strength. Paul said, we are fighting with powers and principalities of darkness who are strong. Get God's power. His power. As you go out on your day, that's why I encourage people to start the day prayer. People always say, oh, but Pastor Mister, you're so regimental. I said, no, it's not about regimental, it's about priority. I start the day first. Can I come back? I said, you can, but what if you died in between the day? There's no coming back, you're gone. Can you guarantee? Can't. So don't risk. I don't like taking this risk. I'm a gambler. If I'm a gambler, I won't take that risk. But why not start the day first? If I should die, wouldn't I be in the presence of God? Back in Singapore, when I was there last month, I have a good friend. I've known him for 40 years, Pastor Rick Seward, or Dr. Rick Seward. The Seward family, they were the pioneers of the Assemblies of God in Singapore 70 over years ago. Rick's dad was the pioneer. While I was in Ipoh having meal, a message come through. Pastor Rick Seward, who was in Brazil, attending a conference, doing a workshop, was driving home after the workshop nighttime. He got hit in an accident. He got killed in an accident. No skid marks. Apparently, he must have dozed off and went. And this car coming just clipped him. And to make matters worse, not only did he die, but his head was severed off his neck. 63 years old. And then the news got to us, and I said, 3 days after that news, I fly to Singapore, and I'm doing a wedding. And Rick Seward's parents are doing the wedding with me. And I look at the dad, who is 88, the mother is 87, and I said, Rick, I said, Fred, Barbara, I said, I just want to pray. And he said, Pastor, he held me. He said, Pastor Miso, everything is in God's hand. I know where my son is. And I thought, what power to ride through such a tragedy. And yet we went up on the stage and we did the wedding, and they did it as if nobody would have known they lost a kid. God's power for your day. I don't know what the day beholds, friend. I don't know. I wish I could, but I'm frightened to know, so it frightens me. Eh? But one thing I know, draw power from God for that day. Take it in the morning. Take it in the morning. I know some of you are not morning guys, but if you love God, if you love your wife and she asks you to wake up in the morning, would you wake up? Don't answer, don't put up your hands. I won't want to cause any trouble. Last night, Anne was on call and she told me, said, if they call me, it was raining, and would you wake up and send me? I said, anytime you call me. I'm not a romantic guy. I'm not earning any flyby points, but it's my wife. I wouldn't want her to go out and get into an accident. And I sit there, and I can sit down for the rest of my life in guilt. For what? Why live a life of guilt? Give it to God. Take that day. Go out. Who knows? In that morning, God has already prepared someone, and you go there, charged up, and just, pop, you connect with that person. God waited for you. Draw His power. Amen? Draw His power. Not power to override, power to abuse. Power to do the will of God. Power to live the life God gave me. I want to live. I don't want to die. Though I want to go back to see God, but I think not yet. Eh? I will know when God says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It's about time you pack your bags. Or leave your bags, just come alone. I've got a whole new wardrobe for you. Hallelujah. I've got a new hairstyle for you. But you know, friend, live in that power. When you come to church on Sunday, don't come here hoping to find power. Bring the power. The power of God. Seek God. Seek His presence. Seek His peace. Right? Seek all ever that God has for you. The priorities in life. Purposes in life. Seek His power. I use these four principles that I share with you. My own. Daily, I do it this way. I'm not spiritual. Please don't ever consider me a spiritual Joe. I'm just like you. But you know, I have a desperate hunger for God. Maybe I'm different from you because I'm passionate about my love for God. I am, and I'm not ashamed. My theme verse of my life is Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for therein it lies the power unto salvation for those who would believe, first to the Jews and to the Gentiles. I believe in him. I believe. You take away Jesus, my day is nothing. I love Jesus. I love the thing. Whenever I talk to people, Christians, I want to encourage them. I want to build them up. Because why? We are called to build one another. Amen? I hope I have built you this morning. I hope I've planted something within your heart. I hope I've spurred or stirred something within you. And I hope the Holy Spirit will ignite it. Ignite it. That it will be the flame of your life until you meet Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's pray, church. Let's bow our heads.